Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Mark Nevins. He advises and coaches CEOs. Mark, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Christopher.
Brevity has power. Conciseness is sexy. In your case, not much on your tagline, but it's very specific. You advise and coach CEOs, future CEOs, their teams and boards. So let's talk about that, in that some people are very, very ambitious as a kid. Some people learn that over time. For you to work with C-level executives, because there really is a big difference between CEOs and everyone else.
There is.
What I mean by that is, I remember working with a CEO. He made a few hundred million dollars at one point, and he's telling me some of his challenges, issues, since he's hired me as a consultant. And I said, Doug, he's talking about all these visions. I'm like, Doug, your employees might not care about your visions, but they care about their paycheck, their families, and going home in a respectable time.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, those who are not CEOs or work with CEOs, they don't necessarily have that mindset. For you, when did you realize you had this understanding to work with C-level executives?
You know, honestly, Christopher, it wasn't until I started working with C-level executives. When you look at my background, it's a peculiar one. For the last, I would say, 10 years or so, my focus has really been coaching and advising in the C-suite. And I work with very large companies like American Express, your alma mater, as well as smaller, not so much startups, a little bit, but high growth companies. And once I realized that when I'm working with the CEO, I'm managing all the dimensions that that role requires. So how do you manage the board? How do you think about, as you said, telling a story that is compelling to everybody from Wall Street to your investors, to your employees, and your employees all the way down to the frontline employees who are going to have the biggest impact on how your customers experience the company, to your mid-level managers who are probably more focused on doing a good job, getting paid, and as you said, kind of getting back home on time. And that sort of dynamic, you know, I'm not an MBA, so I don't come from a traditional business background. I can share my background if you'd like. But that focus on what are all of the things you need to do as a leader, ultimately to create a good society. And, you know, we're talking a lot in America right now about what it means to be a good society. And I think that leaders are very accountable and responsible for creating good societies inside their organizations.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at your background, Mark, I mean, you worked at Booz Allen Hamilton, one of the top consulting firms in the world. So what do you feel that allowed you to create? You talk about these dimensions. So
yeah,
based on your past experience at Booz Allen, how do you feel that experience allowed you to work with these C-level executives?
Well, Booz taught me a lot of things. It's a tremendous firm. I'm very grateful for my time there. But what it really taught me is how to think about business problems in a structured way. A lot of times, I think that what a good consultant does is they don't just solve your problem, they help you understand what is the problem I need to solve. And spending 10 years at Booz really helped me understand the basics of how do strategy consultants break problems down, how do they structure them, and then how do you drive to a set of next steps that are actually implementable. I didn't so much learn the soft stuff at Booz. When I was there, our focus was really on strategy, operations and systems. All of the big firms like Booz and McKinsey and BCG have learned in the last 15 years that what I would call the human side of business is equally important. And when I was at Booz, I tried to make a case that we should get into that business, but this was the mid late 90s and we were not having any of that. But in some ways, the rest of my career has sort of been a response to that, to say, I have now the tools you would need to think about a business as a strategy consultant. Now let's focus on what really differentiates companies, which is not so much the strategy, but the people, the culture, and the leadership.
Especially now, though, with the different changing of generations. But before we get into that, I'm curious, you got a PhD in Harvard. What specifically did you study there?
Yeah, this is why I always tell my bio in reverse chronology, because my PhD is actually in English literature. And if you want to make it a bit more confusing, my undergraduate degree is essentially in molecular biology. So I love numbers. Science is very important to me in my view of the world. I believe that art plays a huge role in kind of, you know, if you think that science tells us how to live, in a lot of ways, art tells us why to live. And I decided I didn't want to go to medical school. I didn't want to go be an English professor. And I literally just, I wanted to live in New York City. The woman I'm now married to was here, and that was a good reason for me to come here. And I just stumbled into consulting and ended up being a perfect marriage of all the things I was interested in. Helping people, solving problems, and constantly learning. Those are probably my three biggest drivers.
That's the thing. Those who are listening, I hope you know that there's so many choices. Just like in life, it's not just going into a restaurant, you see four things in the menu. In a consulting world, I never heard of that term until I was in my 20s. And it's one of those things where you're almost like an actor, where you go into a firm, you try to understand what's going on, and you become and play a role, and you have different industries, and the bigger the firm. Because I remember I had many friends that worked at McKinsey, and they almost laughed because like they graduated from Harvard, Yale,
right,
in their early 20s. They have no clue what they're doing, yet they're going in there as if they're experts, even though they have a senior person there. But literally, like they're going in presenting themselves. And I just found it so hilarious that they just get paid millions of dollars. Sure. Be these experts, but they have these 20 something year olds doing the work. So
yeah, and there's a number of firms that have come along more recently who have said, look, you know, the value proposition for us as a smaller firm than McKinsey is you're going to get, we're not going to give you brand new MBAs. We're going to give you true experts in this. Yeah. But I like your point about being an actor because, you know, I do think that there is a sort of a role you have to play to be an effective advisor. You can't simply tell them the answer, and you can't simply ask them, so what do you think about that? How do you feel about that? It's finding, and it's a sliding scale, finding that role. And a big part of it also is playing the role of somebody that people will open up to, and they'll share with you their vulnerabilities, their fears, you know, what's not going well, because if you can't figure out what's not going well, you can't solve the problem.
Yeah, and the thing is, with the work, you really are like a therapist too, because the higher up you go in the stratosphere of success, sometimes the more baggage they have, and though they're perceived as successful, what blew my mind when I started working with people that are very, very successful, it almost made me laugh because, at least for me, I didn't grow up with any means or resources. So when I would look at someone that's so-called successful or famous or a billionaire, I'm like, ooh, that person must be really smart. And when you start meeting them, like, you know what? They're actually not that smart. Some of them have some smart aspects of them. But when you really unwind and peel away the layers, you just see that they're more human than people might think.
Yeah.
But I'm curious for you, Mark. I'm really curious about these dimensions because you are very gregarious, you're very insightful, and you have this both left and right brain mentality. Yeah. How do you feel you're able to understand some of these dimensions, again, at the higher levels of society? Because when they have all this pressure on them, and you're going in there, they may not want you there, but maybe their board wants you there. So I'm curious, how do you deal with some of these dimensions?
Well, look, first of all, it all starts in trust. And trust is based on a number of things. It's based on credibility, which means you, if you're going to trust me, you believe I know something that's worth listening to, right? It's based on reliability, which is that I follow through. I do what I say I'm going to do. There's an aspect of intimacy to this, which is you're comfortable with me. I can build a rapport with you on a human level. And then the final piece of this is you have to feel like I have a very low self-orientation. So when we're working together, if I'm going to help you above and beyond being credible, reliable, and having some intimacy together, you have to feel like I really want to help you. And I'm able to tell my clients, I'm motivated by one thing, right? I really want to see you succeed. I have a big enough ego to believe that I can help you be more effective, but I also don't need credit for it. I really don't. I mean, I'm quite happy. I can't talk about it, but this morning I got a call from a client of mine, a Fortune 300 company, and the board today decided that he will take over. He's the COO, will take over as the CEO starting January 1st. I'm hugely proud of him. And that announcement will be at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. So you can, at that point, guess which company it was. But he said to me, your student got an A. And I said, it's great. It's been amazing working with you. You know, now the real work begins, and I will continue to work with him. But I don't need to have the Wall Street Journal mention me tomorrow when they announce this this new CEO. And I guess that's just how I was engineered. Maybe it's because I thought about being a teacher. I thought about being a doctor. I tell you, go back even further to high school. I went to a seminary high school, and I did think for a while about going into the priesthood very early on. So, I would go back to the point you made for your listeners, which is that you have to figure out as you're growing up, what am I really good at? What do I really love doing? And what does the world need from me? You know, crude terms, what will someone pay me to do? But where can I make a mark? How do I add value? And finding the sweet spot of what I'm good at, what I love doing, and what somebody values and will actually compensate me for, I think is the secret to a happy life.
I agree, Mark. And I really appreciate you so succinctly sharing some of your expert opinions and insights. How can our guests connect with you and stay in touch with you, Mark?
Well, LinkedIn, Mark, M-A-R-K, Nevins, N-E-V-I-N-S. I have a website, www.nevinsconsulting.com. I am the worst marketer in the world. And so I did not mention that last year. One of my closest friends, who's been a serial CEO, was the assistant secretary for state and has been a client of mine, as well as a business partner of mine. He and I wrote a book called What Happens Now? Reinvent yourself as a leader before your business outruns you. And for anyone, not just CEOs, anyone who's in a leadership role who wants to stay in that leadership role, what we tried to do with this book is say, if you're an effective leader, at some point, all of the things that are making you effective are going to stop working. Because rather than changing the things around you, you have to think about how you change yourself. And we've got tons and tons of case studies and models, but also really pragmatic advice for people about how they can not stall and fail in their careers. So again, I'm a horrible marketer, but I'm very proud of the book. And I think it could be helpful for any of your listeners who feel like they're kind of losing some of the magic.
Awesome. Mark, thank you so much for bringing your magic to our show today. Have a great day.
You bet. Thank you so much, Christopher.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.